Emergency pod number 3. Guys, my voice is going to be absolutely screwed after this week. Brady Rawlings is the single reason that my voice is cooked right now. I'm going to message Brady. He owes me a pack of Strepsils because this is getting ridiculous. We've made 3 trades in a day. This is insane. This is what we really need an emergency podcast for. 3 podcasts in 3 days. This is wild, guys. I'm here for it, though. We've made 3 trades. You know what we're going to do. We're going to get straight into this. Exciting times for North Melbourne. We've got our player guru, Dylan, back on the podcast. So we did just record a quick podcast over Zoom. The audio quality, not quite as good as it sounds right now. I apologize for that, but I think it still sounds pretty good. I'm going to throw over to that interview right now. We talk about the Fisher trade, the Stevens trade, the swap with the Gold Coast Suns and all of the picks we've got. Then we're going to jump back in and I'm going to read some of your fan comments right at the end. So Further North Podcast on Facebook, Further North Pod on Instagram and X/Twitter. All right, I can't wait anymore. Let's get into the interview. Let's go. All right, so many trades and things to talk about today. We've got the biggest AFL Nuffy I've ever met in my entire life. Dylan is back to be able to enlighten me and enlighten us on a couple of these players we've been trading for. Initial reaction from you, Dylan, how'd you feel about 3 trades in one day?
Yeah, it was a big one. Brady Rawlings clearly had a plan coming in, didn't he? He's pulled out all the stops today, and I'm sure that he's not done yet. There's a bit of wheeling and dealing still to be done. None of the names today were Sean Darcy, which was a little bit
which we're still hoping for.
Yeah, I think it's gone down from a 10% chance to 0.1% chance, but that I still hold out hope. But
there's a chance.
Yeah, no. I think overall it was a good day.
Brilliant. Okay. We may as well get straight into it because this is the 3rd podcast in 3 days and my brain is cooking. I've just got home from work. You're sipping on the tea. It's all happening. Yep. It's all happening. So let's recap really quickly what we've traded for. So the first trade of the day was for Dylan Stevens. We got Dylan Stevens and pick 25 in the 2023 National Draft. The Swans received pick 44 in the 2023 National Draft and pick 19, which was part of the AFL assistance package in the 2024 National Draft. So we've got a player and a top 25 pick this year for pick 44 this year and one of the assistance picks next year. So just talking about that trade in particular, do you think we won the deal? Do you think it's split even? Do you think it's a fair price? What are your thoughts as for the sort of price we paid?
Well, we had to trade pick 19 next year anyway. So that needed to go out. We've essentially just gone back, 6 spots or something in the draft a little bit. And pick 44 is that's a 3rd round pick. And Dill Stevens was a pick 5. So I wouldn't say there was a massive winner either way. I'm really, really happy to get Dill Stevens in our club though.
Yeah.
I think he feels such a need for us. Watching him today, like obviously there were highlights and stuff, and everyone puts up highlights. Everyone looks good in highlights, but I didn't realize how good his left leg was.
Yeah.
He didn't kick it quite far. I did not realize how much like penetration he had on his kick. And I think he's going to be such a good weapon for us on that opposite side wing to Bailey Scott.
Yeah, for sure. I think being able to transition the ball from back half to forward half, I hope he links us up on that side like Bailey Scott can do. Just a couple of his stats. We did talk about this a few podcasts ago, but midfielder, 22 years old, 184 centimetres, 80 kilos. The best season of his career was 2022, where he did play a decent part in that finals campaign that the Swans eventually got to the grand final and got absolutely slaughtered. But did go pick five in the 2019 national draft. So 43 games, 11 goals. Yeah, he looks handy. I did reach out actually to a Swans podcast, and I'll just make sure I've got the right name of the podcast here, True Bloods podcast. And I did ask them a little bit about what they thought about Dylan Stephens, just to get a little bit of inside info. They basically did say that he hasn't really fulfilled the potential that he maybe promised or showed early on. They sort of questioned his run and his power is one of the good things. They did say maybe his efficiency by foot isn't fantastic or hasn't been the best, but any left footer seems to be able to eventually become a fantastic kick, and I'm backing Clarko to be able to turn those left footers into stars. But yeah, they seemed a bit neutral on him, like sort of happy to get what they got for him. But I guess they've got that Errol Goulden guy on the wing, and Dylan Stephens isn't going to be able to play over that. He's also played a lot of midfield as a junior, apparently, they told me. So, or in the VFL as well. So he has got that ability, but I would be hoping that it is that outside run that we need.
Yeah, I hope so. What a challenging side to break into, because they've also got Ollie Florent and they've got Justin McInerney that go through the wing, Chad Warner, and they've got so much young talent in that midfield. The wing position is, a very interesting position because teams can go really tall on the wing as well to try to get a mismatch.
Yeah.
Like GWS put Nick Haynes on a wing throughout the year a little bit, not even in a role. Like they'll push him up to a wing. So, I'm hoping his defensive running is good. He seems to get up the field quite high as well and clearly has an eye for goal as well. And someone like him, I'd love, delivering into the forward 50 for sure.
Absolutely.
Potentially Nick Larkey and Jack Darling.
Yeah, Jack Darling. Well, maybe we can chat about that. I did do a quick emergency podcast yesterday. I didn't think this much stuff would be going down. So look at me grinding it out for all the lovely listeners. But do you think pick 44 and pick 19 in next year's draft is a pretty fair price? I guess for me, pick 19 next year being part of that assistance package is kind of a pick we never really had. So I think we win this deal. Easy for us to say being North fans, I guess. But Dylan Stephens, I think to sum it up, has potential, was a high pick, maybe hasn't hit the form he would have liked or showed early on, even in a very good footy program like the Swans have. So on potential, I think it's a really good pick, but we want to make sure he can step up to the level he once showed.
Yeah, and he's played that kind of handful of games, about 40-something, 43 maybe he's played, and he's got a taste for AFL football now. So I'm hoping he, push on to the next level and match a Bailey Scott's level of consistency, because Bailey Scott's been amazing for the last 2 years. And if we can get that consistency on both wings and lock those spots down, it's just one less spot we need to worry about.
Absolutely. And getting pick 25, I think, in the deal, let's not let that go underrated. It's still a pretty, just after a first round pick, I guess a high second round pick, realistically. That's some fantastic wheeling and dealing to be able to move up in the draft, I guess, giving pick 44 away and obviously pick 19 next year. I don't think we should let that go under the radar,
Yeah, and who knows what they've got planned for it. Maybe they're going to package it up and send it straight off again to move up the draft again.
And
who knows? But it really does seem, and not to get onto Zach Fisher too early, but it seems like Brady Rawlings and the team have gotten onto Dylan Stephens and Zach Fisher very early. They've obviously been tracking these two extremely, for a long time. So well done to them and yeah, it was good to get it done early in the trade period too.
Do you think we won the deal? If you were going to take your biased North hat off, do you think we win this deal?
Well, it does depend on how deep next year's draft is. If it's a deep draft next year, then pick 19 is a pretty good pick. But yeah, like pick 44, I'm happy to part with. And we still have pick 25. So look, I wouldn't say we completely dominated the deal. We potentially have edged the deal, depending on how Dylan Stevens plays. But yeah, I think it's a good deal. I think they've done pretty well there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, that pick 19 being part of the assistance package means, you know, we didn't really give up as much as maybe the deal suggests, because that pick technically is ours but wasn't ours, you know what I mean? Moving up in the draft this year, getting another second round pick, this year, plus a player who was pick 5. I think we edged the deal. I don't think we ran away with this one because Stevens has been slightly underwhelming for what they originally drafted him for, and in a good footy program like the Swans do have, maybe did not hit the heights that they suspected. But, you know, a new lease of life and a change of scene can hopefully bring out the best of him for his pick 5 potential that they drafted him at. And if Clarkson and everyone there has been looking at him for as long as they say they have, that I've got trust and faith in them to be able to bring the best out of him.
Yeah, and I think something that does go fairly unnoticed within, I guess, the Nuffy world or the supporter world is the importance of coaches. And clearly what's happened in the last couple of weeks with you know, Blakey going and Gibson and Gavin Brown and others, clearly this is now the team that Clarko wanted to assemble. Yeah. And a lot more faith within our club to develop these kids that are coming through, because our development has been quite poor for quite a long time, and the fact that we're finally getting some change within that, I think is a really good thing. And I think these new players that are going to come into our program, plus the current players that we already have, I really do think it's going to be a better environment for these kids to develop in and get better and push themselves. And I think it's really exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Lastly, before we go on to the second trade of the day, it looks like nearly all the games he played for the Swans was around that wing area. Obviously it seems like we're targeting him for that. Can you see him potentially playing any other positions, or you reckon it's strictly left wing for North?
Yeah, I think he's more of a specialist type. I mean, we talked about that we kind of debated that a little bit on last podcast. He seems like a specialist type that could potentially go to a halfback or a half forward role. He seems to like to get up the field and kick goals, so that's a good thing. And I think just off the top of my head, he'd be the starting wingman on the opposite side with Bailey Scott. And then that third wingman be one of, you know, a lot of players like a Curtis Taylor or a Jaden Stevenson or
Eddie Ford or someone like that as well, maybe.
So, yeah, I think the wing department has kind of gotten a lot stronger, which is good.
Yeah, for sure. All right. The only other thing, like maybe the True Bloods podcast guys did say he's a really hard worker and really always puts in 100% as well. You're not going to see him being lazy on a football field. So maybe rotating a couple of center bounces or something like that as well, I could possibly see him doing. But yeah, I think transition from ball from back flank to forward flank on that left side, I think he dominates up and down there, him and Bailey Scott. So no, I agree. Let's go to the next trade. Zach Fisher. We knew these two were coming in. It was just a matter of time. But today we traded for Zach Fisher, and what we received was Zach Fisher and pick 17 in the 2023 National Draft. And we gave up pick 21 in the 2023 National Draft and pick 25 in the 2023 National Draft. So second round picks, this year. We moved up in the draft. We gave up more picks, but got Zach Fisher. Another interesting one to break down. Once again, a higher pick than we're giving up coming back our way. And Zach Fisher, 25 years old, I think, with still a lot of potential. What's your initial reaction to this deal? Do you think we won the deal, lost the deal, split even again?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Twitter might be the worst resource of all, because Carlton think that they have completely dominated the deal, and then North fans think that we've completely dominated the deal. Yeah, pick 17. So we've got 17, 18 now.
So I've got another screenshot here because there's one more trade, obviously, we did today with the Suns. Yeah. So I'll read out the picks for you now. We've got, as part of all the deals, and we'll go on to what we got from the Suns just after this. But currently we have pick 2, 3, 15, 17, 18, 56, and 64.
Right.
That is an absolute stack of draft picks. I've been seeing "Let Brady Cook" memes all day, which is fantastic. But how we've sort of got all these picks back is sort of beyond me. But we've got a lot.
Yeah, and to get a guy like Zach Fisher in our team, who I think immediately starts in our best 8 players for sure, is really exciting. And he, again, they've gone positional, which I like. It's someone we definitely need, whether it be half back line or in that small forward role. I personally, I think I like him in the small forward role. I don't know about you, Josh, but I see him as that small crumbing forward that we haven't had since, I don't know, Lindsay Thomas. So that's where I see him playing his best footy. He's a really good finisher. I'd love Zach Fisher to be the one kicking inside forward 50. He's another left footer. He's got so many tricks to his bag as well. He has multiple ways of getting his goals, and I like it. I love the fact we've got him. And again, kudos to the team and Brady Rawlings for doing their work early and getting this done.
No, for sure. A little bit on Zach Fisher then. Listed as a forward, even though I think his best stint, arguably, of his career, according to a lot of Blues fans, was off halfback. 25 years old, 175 centimetre, 76 kilos. Disposals, he was elite in disposals this year, 20.8 disposals a game, 11.3 kicks a game, which is both in the elite category. Was taken pick 27 in the 2016 National Draft. He's played 107 games and kicked 53 goals. So about, a goal every 2 games, but obviously I think he's played a chunk of his footy sort of off half back. So, yeah, I mean, once again, it's sort of a hard one with him because I guess my gut feeling is maybe more off the half back line and maybe push Sheasel into the forward line. But I think you could really interchange those two. I don't think I'd have a preference either way. I mean, I'd say Sheasel off halfback has maybe been better than Zach Fisher off halfback, only because Sheasel starred in that role last year. I have a bit of a feeling that he's probably going to start on the halfback line, but he might switch Sheasel and Fisher over all the time to see where they fit, and then they'll find their own spots. But the word from a lot of the Blues fans has been that his best form for the club was off the halfback line. But I did watch a couple of highlights and things, and obviously highlights, are highlights for a reason. But you are right. He does seem like a pretty good finisher, and he's a little bit crafty around goal. Not the biggest frame, but you don't need a big frame to make an impact in that forward line as well. So, yeah, not 100% sure where he's going to play, but I don't know. I guess we've got two guys we can sort of interchange, you know?
For sure. Yeah, with Zach Fisher, I think I hadn't seen him play off halfback line until this year, and it was quite late on in the year. Wanders a little bit, and I almost think that Carlton knew that he was going to North, and I just wonder whether they may have just fattened up his trade value by playing him off the halfback line and getting him a ton of touches. Yeah,
okay, interesting.
Just getting his trade value up a little bit higher, because I've never seen him play off halfback line, and he came down with a bad case of leather poisoning in the last game. So And so that could be why he went to halfback. But my only worry with him playing off a halfback is the defensive aspect, and he is very small and slight of frame. So if they're able to isolate him in one-on-ones, that could be a little bit of an issue. So that's why I do probably see him playing that small half-forward role. But, again, he'd be – him kicking is what we want. Him and Sheasel are the ones I really trust with their disposal. So, yeah, at least we've got options. So,
yeah, very, very true. I mean, thinking about did we win – this deal, I think both clubs really win from this. I mean, Carlton, you know, getting to a prelim final and then this year in the draft having picked 21 and 25, I think is a steal for them, especially when Fisher clearly wasn't in their best 22 come the finals. Yep. But I think North also win this because we have so many picks and we need players with a little bit of that class, and we've moved up higher than the picks we gave. So I really do think this is split down the middle for both teams. I think both teams got what they wanted. So let's take what we got and run. And like we read out before, we do still have all of those other picks.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty even trade. I think Zach Fisher by himself isn't worth a pick in the 20s, if I'm totally honest. I think he's probably worth that kind of later second round pick. But the fact that we got 17 back is great. So I think it's quite an even trade.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. I think if it was just Fisher, obviously for those two picks is crazy. Especially after he nominated wanting to come to our club anyway. You don't usually give up quite as much when the players do that, but you're right. I think pick 17 back, moving up again, and a couple of picks just below that. I think we split even on this one. I think both clubs can be pretty happy. We did one more trade through the day. This one sort of snuck past me a little bit. Everyone was on the Fisher and the Stevens hype, and I had to go searching for this one and double check this was real, but we did make another trade, a little bit more innocuous, but we received pick 18 from the Gold Coast Suns in the 2023 National Draft, and we traded our second AFL assistance pick 20 in the 2024 National Draft. So off the top of your head, why do you think that we've traded for pick 18 this year for pick 20 next year?
Yeah, I think it's just more options to potentially go after pick one. And obviously we needed to trade that first rounder anyway this year. People are completely losing their minds over the fact that the AFL gave us assistance and then we've traded it. Like, we had to trade it, so we need to get over it. Otherwise, we lose it. It's a pick we didn't have. So,
well, the other thing people have been doing as well is, even talking to people at the barbershop, is like everyone thinks the AFL gave us pick 3 for Ben McKay, and that's just not true and not how the rule is at all. So, you know, it's been a tough couple of days or a couple of weeks being a North fan after this assistance package was announced, because we've got nothing but slander after watching our team slaughter the ball for a whole season of AFL footy. And now we've got a cop that every other supporter getting upset at us when they don't understand what the assistance package actually is. A lot of people I also talked to didn't know that the two picks next year could be taken away from us if we improve too much. And it just shows that people just really just read the headlines, don't they, instead of actually understanding the deal properly.
Yeah, I think we're the most hated club in the land right now, and that's fine. Like, I don't really – that doesn't really bother me one bit. Club gets better. That's all I care about. Interesting one from Gold Coast sliding down there.
Would that have given them points to be able to get their academy players? I'm not 100% sure how it works just trading picks, but I'm assuming it does.
Yeah, so, but the problem is they've got three academy boys this draft that they need points for, so not entirely sure why they did it for this one, but maybe they're just going to, they'll probably just trade off pick 20 and went to matched one of the bids on one of their academy boys. Like, look, they got Walter, who's going to be a star, and they've got Jake Rogers as well, who's like another Tuukka Miller. So they've got some really good talent coming in that first round between probably picks 2 and 21 or something, or 25, something like that. So they're going to have to match those bids somehow. So, yeah, look, we've got so many picks now, and either we've got something else planned or we're going super hard at pick one.
Yeah. I'm not sure if, because Gold Coast made the trade this year, I still have a feeling they might get the points, even if it's trading something that they had or for next year. I think they might still get the points for this season, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Neither am I. Maybe they can potentially use that pick to as points to match anything this year.
Because so, I don't know why else they would have done it. It doesn't really make much sense for them to trade for next year instead. That's just a whole other year of not developing a player. They could have got a pick 18 this year, and it's going to be worse next year. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd say it has to be for points, but once again, don't quote me on that, because I did look up how the point system works today. I watched a video on it and read an article about how it all works, but I can't remember if it specified if you trade for future picks, can you use the points this year on the current draft. But anyway, I'm sure someone's yelling at the screen or the keyboard or anything right now saying we're a bunch of idiots because we don't know that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, interesting move. So again, we get another pick this year, and I think it shows that we've gone chips in this year.
Yeah.
So we are, I mean, we do have one more first rounder to use if we want. Like, we could trade next year's first rounder as well if we wanted. So that's another pick that we...
That's true. I mean, we only gave up the assistance package ones, didn't we? We haven't got our first round pick next year, but you don't want to completely wipe yourself out of a draft and go all in for this upcoming season now, I think. I think, you know, if we got rid of... Like, once again, I'll just read out the picks that we do have for everybody. So we've currently got pick 2, pick 3, pick 15, pick 17, 56 and 64. So 15, 17, 18, we've got a lot of picks in a group there. If we got rid of a pick like that for something next year as well, I wouldn't be too unhappy, because I don't want to go into next year's draft and have no selections, I guess, and have so many this year. But hey, I guess, I think you are right. I think this is, we're not going to keep all these picks. We're not going to pick that many players in a draft. I don't think I've ever seen a club pick that many players in a draft, or at least be able to list them all and keep them all. So I reckon you're right. I reckon they're trying to package something together for pick number one, even though personally, I'm not sure I would be doing that. I think there was an article today, I can't remember who wrote it, but we should, I think it was Sam McClure, actually. He said we should call the Eagles on their own bluff. And I fully, fully back and support that. I think we say to the Eagles, you go pick one and you pick whoever you want. If you want Harley Reid, go for it. If you don't, you know, we'll take Harley at 2, or we get Curtin at 2. That's what I would be doing. But, you know, what do you think would be a fair price for pick one with all of those picks? Would you trade pick 2 and give them 15, 17, 18 for pick number one?
Yeah, and sorry, just on next year's, sorry, 2024 first round pick, that's not going to be a high pick anyway, because, you know, I plan on making finals, so that's not going to be eight guys, so don't worry.
Lock that in right now. You've heard of it first, guys. We're playing finals next year.
Finals is not out of the question. So, that's a good question. So they're not gonna do anything. They're not going to budge if pick 2 isn't in there, I don't think. Like, I saw a lot of Eagles fans on Twitter today, because we did make a play today for pick 1. And it was 4 first rounders, but they were quite late first rounders. So I think it was 15.
Imagine if we had pick 1, 2 and 3. Imagine if they accepted something like that.
And a lot of Eagles fans and AFL fans in general lost it. They're like, the Eagles shouldn't even pick up the phone next time when North come for pick one. And I just, it boggles the mind to me, because if you, like, do you know what negotiating is? Like, why would I come to the table with my best offer straight away?
Yeah. Has anyone ever bought anything? Like,
Like, of course you're going to lowball straight away. That's how you find, like, you slowly work to a middle ground.
Absolutely.
That's my head in. But, I'd be furious at the club if they went with their best offer straight away. Negotiating I've ever seen. So, that's a good question. I don't know what they're – I think that they're set on taking Harley Reid. I think Sam McClure is pretty off on that one. But, I think it would be number two. It would be pick two, and I think it would be pick two, pick 14.
15?
15, and I'd go to them with two and 15.
I think so too. Yeah, I think so too. They're only moving down one position, plus they get another first rounder. So I think that's pretty fair. You could, if you want to throw in like a 56 or a 64, go for it. But I don't know. I'm completely torn if I think we should get Harley Reid or Daniel Curtin. I really don't know. And that's why I guess I'm pretty willing right now to be like, call their bluff. We're walking away with either the best talent or the best positional fit for North, in my opinion. So,
I think either way, it's good for us, because there's zero way that we give them pick two and three. It's not going to happen. So either way, we're walking away with Harley Reid and pick three, or we're walking away with pick two and three. So
imagine if we gave them pick like three and, you know, we could go pick 17, 18 or something like that and ended up with one and two. That would be unreal. Yep. But I think the Eagles would be idiotic to go anywhere below two because of the Daniel Curtin prospect and the Western Australian boys. So, look, there's so much to play out, and this is all speculation right now, I guess. But, look, we're a crazy day, a busy day. But that's basically all of the trades. Any final thoughts or words from you before we sign off?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot to play out over the next week. So I think it ends next Wednesday. So they're in no rush to trade pick one. There's going to be a lot of time in between. Now, I think we're going to go quiet for a while. I don't see us making another trade unless we've got something ready to go. So I don't see any movement on that until later on in the week, next week.
Hopefully Rawlings is cooking up the Sean Darcy trade package with some of these picks.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. And you know, like I think we've pretty much signed Toby Pink as well. And yes.
We're going to rookie draft him, I think.
Yeah. And we're interested in bringing you on from Richmond, who's a key defender as well, athletic key defender. There's some exciting things happening down at Arden Street. Good.
Brady Rawlings is going to get that statue out the front of Arden Street after this trade period. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I think he's like torn his Achilles or something. He was on crutches.
He did. He walked in on crutches in his interview, and I think – look, if this is how well he does with a massive torn Achilles, then we should be kicking his Achilles every single year, I reckon.
Yeah, he's doing really well. I've been really impressed. So, yeah, another big day tomorrow. And, hopefully North can get some more trades done.
Yeah, now it's time for the unknown. Now, we always knew Stevens and Fisher would come eventually.
Correct.
You know, so now it's the juicy time. But look, thank you for coming on again. We'll have you on very, very soon. Hopefully, every single time there's a signing or a trade or something goes down, we'll get your expertise on it. And
I've actually got a run. I've got the Aiden Bonner AGM, so we've got that on now. So I've actually got to go. So.
Yeah, you and Aiden just going to hang out. It's just you two going, right, I'd assume?
Nah, mate, there's a lot of people on the
I didn't get an invite for that. So weird.
The AB train.
Yeah, look, I guess you don't want to get Daniel Curtin just because he takes Adam Bonner's spot, do you? That's why you were so passionate about Harley Reid before.
Well, you know, they're your words, not mine, but who knows? But yeah, good chat, mate. And yeah, hopefully we can get a few more done.
Easy, mate. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, mate. Thanks, Josh.
Bye.
Thank you once again to Dylan for coming on the podcast. Always good to get him on and have a chat. Finally, we're going to read out some of the fan overreactions. I asked for overreactions only to some of these on Instagram. So we're going to go into Dylan Stevens and we're going to get to Zach Fisher. So Dylan Stevens overreactions, SC_Mitch on Instagram says, North have already won the next 10 flags. I think you can lock that in. I don't think there's any question about that whatsoever. We've got Alex Hudson, the future of football. On a side note, love that Brady is getting the job done early in the trade period. You're totally right. Brady deserves the big bollocks Brady tag. He's the man. What do the kids say? He is him. Is that a thing? Am I hipping with it? I'm old. Okay, Brighton Isles on Instagram. Kane Turner wears it better. Come on, Brighton. Come on, mate. Call this man Dill the Drill. Brighton has dubbed him Dill the Drill. Let's see if that sticks next year. As he drills the footy down the ground from the wing. What a cannon. We've got Danny Gray 92, AFL graphic designer working overtime on Photoshop. Absolutely. Big day at the office today. Earn your coin. Joey Joe 03. This opens our premiership window just like Melksham to the D's did for them. Wowee. Massive call. Massive call. But level-headed. Paul Petruccelli. I hope I got that right, Paul. Left-footed winger. Jared Polek is back. Now, Paul, calm down. This is the time to celebrate. I feel like Crazy John right now. _ Liam Lambert _. There's a bit of Kieran Harper about him. You know what? I see it. Let's hope he plays a few more games than Kieran Harper did. Shout out to Kieran Harper if you're listening. All right, let's go over to some Zach Fisher ones now. Mark loves beer. Mark does love beer. We remembered that from last time and he's probably still drunk. Tied for the Brownlow. Assuming you're tied with Dylan Stevens, do you reckon they can split a Brownlow next year? Yeah, probably. Amy _ Lowry says, lids off. Now, +3 in the top 10. Priority Nick Watson, please. Looks like Amy's a Nick Watson fan. I'm a Nick Watson fan as well, Amy. I'm totally with you. Joseph _ Baines 27. Kangaroos admin cooking. Let them cook, guys. Let them cook. Brady's been cooking all day. He's feeding the North Melbourne back office right now. Harley Harbour has just sent me a meme. It says, sign a big fish and your club eats for a day. Sign a fisher and your club eats for a lifetime. Mahatma Gandhi said that, and I think I do remember that he is one of the biggest North Melbourne ticket holders. So good job on that one. You'll see him in Bay 29 next year, Mahatma Gandhi for sure. The Zach Fisher one, SC_ Mitch. Aaron Mullett has returned to Arden Street. Aaron Mullett. I loved Aaron Mullett, by the way, and I do cut Aaron Mullett's hair at the barbershop. Aaron, if you're listening to this, I've told you about the pod, mate. If you are listening to this, I'd still take you over Zach Fisher. Don't worry about that. Just won the premiership for his local side as well. So hopefully brings the premiership medal into the barbershop next time. But hey, Aaron Mullett is goat tier. Everybody else is under him. We've got Gobshites _ Anonymous. Emergency pod in capital letters. You are totally right, Gobshites. This is an emergency pod and this is a real emergency pod. I feel like I'm on an infomercial or, yeah, like those Crazy John's commercial, those bargain stores. Oh, wow, that's cheap. I feel like I'm doing this thing right now. I'm talking fast, but I'm excited. And I also need to edit this before it gets too late because I'm a very old man. Callum Sav 07 says, let Clarko and Brady cook. Fire emojis. They're cooking, mate. Don't you worry about a thing. Kyle.peck_, best player to ever live. Zach Fisher is the best player to ever live. The grandkids of my kids will be talking about round one 2024 ZF debut. Wowee. That is not an overreaction. That is reality, guys. Thank you for that one. Big underscore Spence 44. I genuinely believe that Brady Rawlings is the second coming of Jesus. You know what? I believe it too. I believe it too. That's the last comment, guys. Thank you so much. Ran through those comments very, very quickly, but we have a lot to get through. I'm going to edit this now, get it out. It's probably going to be out like 11 p.m. on the Wednesday night. So if you're a real nut job of a fan of this podcast, happy listening on the Wednesday. For all you guys waking up Thursday morning to this podcast in whatever app you listen to, thank you so much. So I'm really trying to get these emergency podcasts done quick for you guys and expect it to keep on coming. A massive off-season for North. I'll be here to cover as much as I can for you. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this real emergency pod. It makes yesterday's emergency pod not feel quite as cool. But hey, here we are. This is a North Melbourne fan in 2023. Thank you again, guys. Please, 5-star rating, Spotify, Apple. It really, really helps get the podcast out to more fans. Tell your mates, tell your North mates about the Further North podcast and get them involved. We need to keep growing this community. And follow all the socials. There's going to be more coming this year. Sleep well, everybody. Talk to you guys soon. Calm down, Brady. I got to have one good night of sleep. Okay, goodbye.